Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Syndication Station, the weekly podcast where we watch classic television shows, discuss them with you on the internet, and then fart in the microphone sometimes. It can get a little stinky in here. My name's Mike, and with me are my co-hosts, Dom and Josh.
You made some pretty interesting choices this morning.
We're recording in the morning as opposed to at night, and everyone is, woo, waking up today! You're on with Josh, Dom, and Mike, the Morning Drive Time Show!
You know, I got some news stories, some wacky news. A man in Gainesville, Florida, tried to open a can with his gun. Yeah.
That dog won't hunt. Get along, little doggy.
This is our morning radio show because we are recording this in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, I'm Josh.
My name is Dominic. I was going to come up with some crazy, like,
wacky
radio handle, but I'm too tired.
Mike on the mic, Dominic the Dominator, and Joshua.
And Queefbait.
I was going to say the Joshinator, but Queefbait's good, too.
Guys, Token Ginger.
We're on the podcast. It's the fifth episode. It's crazy, you guys.
Oh, God.
Dumb. Man. You excited to talk about some TNG this week?
Oh, I am excited to talk about some TNG because people loved this episode they should.
People did love your recommendation for our episode of Syndication Station, but wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait just a goddamn second. We're getting ahead of ourselves like we always do. Guys, let's do a little personal reflection. Weekly recap.
Oh,
Josh
God.
Henderson. Josh Henderson of Continue Cast, Fantasy Fiction. Josh Henderson, what'd you do this last week?
Watched Beastmaster like four times.
Yeah.
What's going on with that movie?
It took four times to watch it for you to be like, you know, what's going on with Beastmaster?
Why is there a young naked boy in that movie? Why does he...
I don't know how I feel about this movie, but I like those ferrets.
I like how
and
in the
this bath scene.
Dude, I was going to say, in the beginning, he tricks that girl into, like, thinking he's cool by, like, making his panther friend, like, intimidate the naked chick.
Yeah.
Which is, like, some kind of form of weird, like... pseudo-rape.
Pseudo-rape.
It's very weird.
It's very pseudo-rapey.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Where are you watching Beastmaster? Do you have it on Laserdisc, or are you watching it on the internet?
I watched it on the internet, but I think you can only appreciate Beastmaster on VHS, truly.
Would you recommend our audience watch it and enjoy the ferretness?
I would. If we did another podcast about movies, I would say we're doing the Beastmaster.
Well,
we're playing on... sci-fi.
You have to watch with all the terrible commercials.
But there's no tits when they do it there.
I know.
And there are tits in this movie.
Josh, I think you just made a call to action for us to do another podcast. So
I don't think we have time to do it.
Tomorrow morning, fellas, hop on.
Maybe we should do that where it's like the $1 million movie. Remember when that used to come?
Dude, the $1 million movie on ABC. That's what it used to, and it was on Saturday nights or Saturday afternoon.
I think so, or it might have
been. That's when I went to bed because I was like, I'm not going to watch this $1 million movie.
I caught Top Gun on there one time, and I was like, whoa, good movie. What's going on?
Dude, you know what needs to come back? Monster Vision.
I love Monster Vision. Holy shit.
So good.
We should definitely, our audience, listeners out there, Syndication Station-ites, I don't know, that's what I'm going to call you guys now. We highly encourage you to go look up what Monster Vision is, and we'll save that conversation for another episode. Dominic Machidi, what did you do this week?
I watched the TNG episode. Well, I moved. I moved into a new house.
Did you move? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you did.
I moved up into Glendale. Paul Ritchie helped me move.
Paul Ritchie flew out to California to help you move.
Yeah, dude, he helped me move. It was great.
Were you living
it was
in
great
Glendale?
That he was here. But I moved, and then last night I watched the TNG episode Skin of Evil, and I cried.
And you cried
it's
your eyes
so
out.
It's so sad.
Because it's so goddamn good. Dude, did it take you, not that I'm expecting a full report of what you did all week, but like moving is quite the undertaking, especially in Los Angeles where everybody's a fucking flake. And did it take you like a couple days to get up into the hills?
Well, I took a couple carloads over on Saturday. Like, I just packed up everything Saturday during the day, and then I just brought two hatchbacks full. And then on Sunday, I walked on over to the U-Haul place as they were closing, and he was like, "Oh, we have one more truck. It's crazy that you're coming up here just asking for a truck, because I've been having people ask all day, and I just haven't had them, but I just so happen to have one." And I was like, "Oh, perfect." And we loaded up my big stuff and my big stuff.
I was going to say, was the back of the truck full of German terrorists about to take over Nakatomi Plaza?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, when I said my big stuff, it reminded me of those Tonka truck commercials.
Tonkas.
Do you remember those?
Yeah. What was like a bulldozer, a front loader, and like a backhoe, right?
Backhoe.
Like,
dude,
you were totally a kid who had trucks.
I did. I love trucks, man.
Fucking knew it.
Dumb. I would like an alphabetization. I would love you to alphabetize for me all the things you moved and what boxes they were in. That's going to be the podcast this week. Let's just do this for an hour and a half.
Let's just get right into it.
you weren't here when Paul moved, but he had about 40,000 boxes that said books on it. And most of them did have books in it, but some of them were fucking liars.
Why did he need to label what they were? I don't understand that. He's just one single man.
Dude, have you ever tried to lift a 2x2 box full of books? I consider myself a pretty sturdy human being, but like, you gotta be Andre the Giant to like move books for Paul Ritchie all day. That guy loves to read.
That dude loves books.
Josh is right though. One of the boxes said books, and it was just filled with weights.
Yeah,
like instead of the weights being free, they were in a box.
Yeah, he put weights in a box because apparently that's how you move weights.
Cardboard is a really good container to move iron in.
It was like lifting lead of an equal and proportionate weight.
When Paul listens to this show, he's gonna be like, "These guys are fucking liars. I didn't do that. I bought those assholes pizza. Fuck them."
Yeah.
Dude, Dom, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to derail your story. Your move went well, though, I take it?
Yeah, I got the U-Haul. We loaded it up, and I had it returned within an hour.
Dude,
so it was really great that Paul came out here and helped me out with that.
That's pretty pro. When Paul and I were doing the truck for his move, we got a flat tire, and he left a pair of his underwear in the truck.
Yeah, he told me
that. Both of those things are true stories.
And he almost hit my car.
Yeah, that's right.
He was about 2 inches from hitting my car.
We dropped Luke off 10 minutes before we got a flat tire, and I sent him a picture, and he's like, "You guys are children." And I was like, "Whoops."
Yeah.
we also watched some amazing stories.
Yeah.
And we watched the episode with that was directed by Scorsese, which is a pretty neat episode. And then we also watched this one about a boy who wishes that like his parents wouldn't come home or something. I forget. But Paul was like, "I want to watch this one, but I'm afraid it will be bad." And then we were like, just put it on.
I'm afraid it'll be bad.
It was so bad. But, guys.
Because that's the one Paul watched. Yeah. That's why.
I was riffing on it pretty good.
We should do a podcast where we do stuff
like
that.
Yeah,
we should.
Dude, where in Glendale? Or did you move to Dom?
I moved.
What's your street address?
I kind of don't know where in Glendale it is. It's right off the 134. It's just a couple turns.
I was gonna say, I lived there for months and I couldn't tell you where I lived either.
134, man. You guys got a lot of roads in California.
Glendale's beautiful, man. You know where I lived? I lived by the police station and that one Armenian deli. So that should give you an idea.
Now there's 200 Armenian delis,
and they're all delicious. Those people know how to make a kebab. Let me tell you. But
kebab.
For our audience who doesn't know, you can catch out Dom on Fantasy Fiction, on our sister podcast, maybe? Surrogate sister podcast?
I would say.
Stepsister podcast.
Hotter twin sister.
our sister from another Mr. podcast.
Half sister.
All right, so I guess we're all caught up with everybody. I didn't do shit this week, so I don't have any stories to tell.
That's it? Oh, okay.
No, my life's just sad and hollow.
You watch some more Star Trek?
I did.
I tracked out last night.
I did too, man.
Six episodes.
I watched the episode with Lol, and I was like, "This is a really sad episode."
Dom and I were talking about it at like really late at night. I don't even want to say what time in the morning it was, but we were like, "Josh, I was trying to remember that line for another podcast." But when he's like explaining to her about like patterns, like what friends are to yeah. Data. We're going to get into it. We'll get into it. But you know what I really did this week? I just played Hearthstone all week.
Oh, it's so good.
I can't stop playing it. Oh, my God.
You also called me at 1:50 in the morning.
I did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I
woke up today and I was like, what the hell? 1:50.
We got off that Skype call and I was like, for some reason, we hung up on the call. And for some reason, I just like reflex picked up my phone and dialed you.
That's weird.
And we were on the phone for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I did it. And I was like, wait, why am I doing this?
I didn't hear it when you called
me. I'm brainwashed. They got their hooks in me, man. We were like, all right, good night. And I just picked up my phone and did it. And I was like, oh, I'm a 14-year-old girl. That's amazing.
Yeah, I tried to call Josh this morning and I called my mom.
Hey, Mom. How you doing?
Weirdly enough,
Mom,
I still
Josh?
Got the call.
You know where Josh is?
Dom, I'm your new dad.
What?
Blah, blah, blah.
I want to talk about some Star Trek.
Let's talk
I'm tired of you guys talking about my mom.
All right, let's get into it. All right, gang, this week we're talking about Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 3, Episode 10, The Defector, a Dom pick, and an excellent one at that.
Mm. Out of how many chains was this off the chain?
This was at least two goddamn chains it was off of, if you tell me. And that's
I'm going
like,
to say five. It was off five chains.
Oh, 700.
I thought one chain was 100%. I was giving this a 200% off the chizane.
And
rating.
I was giving it 500%.
Whoa!
This is so off the chain, it makes the Amistad look like a cruise ship.
Oh!
Whoa!
That's the smartest...
It's not?
That is, I can't even laugh at that, Josh. That's the fucking smartest joke that'll ever be on this podcast. That's how goddamn good it was.
It's not?
That's the goddamn best joke I've ever heard in my entire life.
I got two tickets for Amistad.
Everybody
two
go
tickets
to
for Amistad.
Go learn yourself about history. Got two tickets for Amistad. Do some goddamn homework. Learn what a goddamn funny joke that was by Josh. That's incredible. Guys.
But I love this episode.
Let's talk about this episode.
Yes.
First of all, before we even get into it, because there's a major breakdown and we got a lot of analyzing to do here.
Holy shit.
Another week of unbelievably invaluable fantastic comments on the subreddit. In fact, some of them are so good and so in-depth, I encourage our audience to go read them and participate in the conversation. Guys, we might have to introduce a feature on this show where we do follow-ups, where we talk about like how that idea channel on YouTube every week talks about the prior week's conversation. I couldn't believe the conversation that was still happening on last week's episode on the
Amazing
subreddit.
Stories, yeah.
Dude, it's great. I love the level of participation here, guys.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
really
fantastic.
It's really amazing.
I can say that a lot of the comments that were left this week are really in sync with a lot of the things we're going to be talking about. So we're going to try and quote some people when we can. But for the most part, man, we got a lot of digging to do. So
Henry V, baby.
Let's get started. Dom, you want to lead us off on this one?
I never skip the intro
ever
to Next Generation.
Oh, absolutely.
The teasers.
Other shows, I will skip the intro. Nope. I will never skip the intro to Next Generation or X-Files. They are the best.
They're fantastic.
It's like, oh, God, you know, maybe I should watch an episode of TV. I don't know if I'm in the mood. I don't really know. And then as soon as it hits warp speed, you're just like, oh, my golden ring.
As soon as Picard starts talking, I'm like, all right, I'm in. Let's do this.
Goose
I just want to hear him talk to me all night.
I'm gonna put one of our listeners on blast. Longtime listener, no time caller, Coit Grey Wolf Perry.
Coit.
Excuse me, my Italian Philadelphia accent. Coit. Coit pointed out to and I got into it the other week about how cheesy the X-Files intro was, and I was ready to punch his face into oblivion. And I was like, that goddamn Mark Snow music, man. And he's like, yeah, but like the text on screen, it's silly. And I was like, it was 1993. You better excuse it. And he's like, yeah, but compared to the Star Trek intro, it's fantastic. Or it's cheesy. But I don't know, man.
If you didn't have text in your intro in the 90s, you didn't make it.
How would you know Paranormal Activity or Government Conspiracy?
Yeah.
That's what it says. Well,
yeah.
Or Ghost Walking Down a Hallway.
But dude, the TNG intro, oh man, every time, I can chain watch the show.
I get
off the chain watch the show. Yeah, dude, and it just, God, and the teaser, the segment before the intro for every episode is so – very rarely do they miss the mark for setting the tone for the episode.
They really hit it a home run a lot of times in the show.
Hey, it's I don't want to talk too much about another episode, but speaking of that, I also watched Conspiracy last night from the first season.
I really
like
that episode.
And that intro is like, holy shit.
Yep.
Like, shit is going down.
Sometimes the intros, for those of you who haven't watched a lot of the show, and I know we've jumped really far ahead here with this episode, but for those who haven't watched the show, usually the teaser is some kind of primer or maybe even a B-plot intro to sort of, again, get you ready for what you're about to see, or at least, you know, give you like a simile or a metaphor for like what you're about to see. There are episodes, though, where they leave you with a cliffhanger in the teaser, and those episodes, man, when that music swells and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? And then silence.
And then it gets all quiet.
It's silence and space. And you're like, oh my God, this shit.
Oh, we're back in it. We're back.
We're back. We're back. We did it.
Buckle your space belt.
Dude, so Dom, how did this episode lead off? What are we talking about in the teaser here?
We're talking about Henry V.
Henry V. We start off with an excerpt from Henry V, which I, admittedly, I've never I love Shakespeare. I'd like to consider myself a student of Shakespeare. I've never read Henry V, so I'm a D student. I've actually never seen a performance of it or the movie. I think Brenna wrote and directed and starred in the film.
One with the speech where he's
the speech. Yep.
We're going to go get him and we're going to live our lives.
I'm in the fog now. But yeah. What's so great is, you know, obviously Patrick Stewart being, you know, a theatrically trained actor and everything, there is a real accessibility to what you're shown. And they instead of spelling it out for you, they just so cleverly explain how this intro is about a king trying to understand what his soldiers are feeling, what it's like for them to want to go to war, what it is an honest, in earnest opinion of their leader, of soldiers and their leader. And man, you're like, oh, this is kind of a nice little – this is a nice little friendship piece between Picard and Data, or this is a nice little like slice of life about the two of them. And man, when it comes back around later in the episode and with like that, when that whip cracks on you, holy shit, you're like,
yeah,
this show's so fucking well written. You
I
know
think,
what I mean?
Like, I think like it, people kind of maybe think that it's very, on the nose. There was a comment that, from someone where they said, it seemed like they like put it in a little, like as a setup, you know, an obvious setup.
Yeah,
but in the Star Trek universe, like I think it works so well because they use data brilliantly because he's trying to understand what it's like to be a human. So they sort of have him there to be like, well, here's what's going on. But also like in that universe, like their lives just sort of run into these what we would call like coincidences, but like. That's like because they're living in the moment for each other in a way. So all these things sort of fit together in their lives, like, and this the intro really like kind of seems at first like it's like, oh, you know, here's the Shakespeare part because Picard is a Shakespeare actor, but it really is, in my opinion, very poetic and it works very well.
That's exactly what it is. I know the writers about this episode. They talked about how they wanted to create echoes.
Yeah,
what they love the idea of like them saying something and then later on you hearing it again.
Yeah,
even if it's just ever so faintly.
Yep.
And I think that's a great way. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, this morning we can't record in the morning, guys.
You're
I'm disgusting. All phlegmy.
You're
oh, I'm terrible. I'm a horrible human being. what's it called? the idea of things. You know, even though it may seem on the nose. You know, maybe that's only because it's in 40 minutes as opposed to 90 minutes, like a movie. You know, but. Like you said, you know, we live in a reality that's or I guess that's debatable, but we live in a world where we're in information overload all the time. So to ever relate any situation that you're in specifically with something that's that you share, like, you know, maybe like media consumption or a cultural touchstone that you share with other people might be foreign or may seem like a stretch. But these guys are adrift in the void and all they can do is just keep each other company with anecdotes and culture, and
yeah,
the more you watch the show, the more high culture you seem. Like it all, again, it may seem contrived or it may seem silly. Of course it is, because it's fiction. But like, you know, it's like, oh, they're practicing violin and then they go to war and then they come back and they read poetry. It's like, of course they do. What else are they going to do?
That's the whole.
Else are they going to do?
The life of being in this time is what you do all day. You don't. Right. You don't go to work and get paid.
Right, they don't have to
swap the
deck.
You go to work to be better.
right.
At
this
being
is
a person.
There's a great. I watched another episode last night. It's the one where they. Sorry to like be like.
No, it's
oh,
okay.
I watched all these episodes. But
no,
this
no, no.
Is a
we're
great
talking
example of that.
We took a huge leap forward into the series here, which we'll talk about in a second. But we hope that people have been watching, or maybe you know we encourage them to continue to watch. But I like that we have. This knowledge that we're sharing with everybody, Dom, so don't feel bad about that. Go ahead, you know, lay it on.
But yeah, it's the episode where they find those guys from the 80s who were in cryogenic sleep.
Yeah,
the cowboy and the money man.
Yeah. Money man.
The money man. The money man. Well, that's what's great about it is that, like, there's that moment where the money man goes, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And Riker's just like, motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah.
You could know shit.
You could do anything.
You could do anything. It's just all about bettering yourself.
And that's what he says.
He's like, let me check my accounts. And they're like, there's no more banks. And he's like, what?
He's like, I'm ruined.
I don't have any money.
There's definitely an idea of like, I'm sorry, Dom, go ahead. You.
Oh, I was going to say, but I love when they do those echoes with Data, because then it's a lot of the times I go, huh, I guess we do that.
he's a great blank slate to project ourselves onto, and it may not even be that Data is the one who's like reflecting on the moment. It's more like you see Picard doing it. He's like, oh, this is actually relatable when he calls Data into his ready room, you know, and he's like, I need you to make you need to be a record of this.
Uh-huh.
He's like, and then he relates it to Data, almost like he's telling himself, like that. Oh, it's just like in Henry V. It's like I have to know what my people think.
Well, he realizes it when you realize it, which makes you feel
smart, which is
the
show is so good at doing
how they it's so great how they use Data in this show. Like Picard, like throughout the entire series, like Picard is becomes sort of Data's like. Father figure in
yes,
a way.
Yes, he does. Yep.
And
for the whole series, he is.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, and I love in this episode where he's acting, and then he's like, "Data, you did a great job." And Data's like, "Thank you. I was considering on studying the
Laurence Olivier."
Of,
yeah.
And then he goes, "God damn it, Data!
You got to learn to be a person on your own, guy.
You disappoint me."
Yeah, and there's even a fatherly moment right before the end of the teaser where he's like, where Data's like, oh, I'd like to put on a performance, and he's like, not quite yet. He's like, we're getting there. You know, he's a mentor to him, and like, man,
I love that scene though, because and Dan himself left a comment on the subreddit. He says, in that scene, pretty much Picard says, "Let history be the judge of our actions, and not to embellish or analyze." And I think I thought that was like a really awesome way to raise the stakes, because like. If you didn't realize that this is like a crazy important moment in like the history of man, like we're going to let you know by saying like by having dad take son aside and be like, "Hey man, you got to write from right now on, you got to write down everything."
If you do,
like imagine if your dad came to you and said that to you, be like, "Oh my God, what's going to happen to my dad?"
Dude, it's so crazy. There's a fantastic line in the beginning of this episode that, again, I don't – I didn't see anybody leave a comment about it. I don't know if anybody else noticed it. But Picard, one of the first things he says to Data is, "Data, you're here to learn about the human condition."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that line is so twofold.
Because he's not talking to Data. He's talking to you.
He's telling you. He's telling the audience it's threefold. He's telling the audience that one, that's what you're here for, and Data is your conduit. Two, he's telling Data that's your purpose in life.
Right.
But three, what he's actually saying and what he's saying in the scene is even Picard, if he's saying it without knowing he's saying it, he's like, oh, you're here to we're doing this play, you know, you're learning about you know. Antiquity and you know human expression and everything to become more human. So it works within the fiction. It works as like and then it works as like subtext, and then it works as metafiction as well,
right?
Which is great. And I thought that was so clever of them to put that in there. One of my I tell this story so often. I'm sorry if I've already told it on this podcast, but if I did, everybody buckle the fuck up. One of my favorite
space buckles.
Engage. So one of my favorite shows ever was Sports Night, and I would love to do that at some point on this show, yeah. But we'll get there. And I know, Josh, you're a huge fan of it too.
Yeah.
And there's a – in the finale, and this is not a spoiler. This is just an example of what I think is like excellent writing for the audience. There's a moment where the show within the show is in jeopardy, and a sort of Deus Ex Machina character shows up to the protagonist and says to her, "Do you feel responsible for the show failing?"
Mm-hmm.
And that is clever, you know, because she gets to reflect, and right. You, the audience, get to reflect through her character being like, oh, is that what's happening? But in reality, it was the last episode of the actual show, which had been canceled by ABC. And they wrote that Aaron Sorkin wrote that episode after the show was canceled.
Yeah.
So now you have a what's the word? Not pedestal, a podium. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, guys, help me. You have a podium for like the writer of the show to put one of his characters up on.
And yeah, that's when like a writer gets a chance to be in the show, which as a writer you don't really want to ever do that.
Right, because the author surrogate can get really cheap.
It gets really bad really quick.
Really quick, but you can – it's a great way just to like, you know, in case we forgot or in case you don't know, and especially for this episode, you know, you have this father figure, this winning man, this guy that we all look up to, that we come to visit every week, mm-hmm. Captain Picard, his adventures. What am I going to learn from my mentor this week? And he gets to pull us aside like we're kids. Like, Dom, you've said it 100 times, and that's what's great about this show. He pulls us aside, and he's like, hey, you know, I know it's Shakespeare, and I know it's the spaceships in space, but what you're here to learn about is the human condition. Let's learn about what it is to be afraid. Let's learn what it is to learn. You know, let's see what it is for us to interact, how we deal with one another.
Yeah.
Speaking about being afraid, how about that scene with Geordi and Data talking about going with your gut?
All right, let's get into that. I have a huge asterisk for this later on. I will say this about this episode. I love this episode. I think this episode is a 9 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
It's two chains off the chain. I don't know about 5, only because I think the only thing that's out of place in this episode is that conversation. I think it doesn't.
Really?
I don't think it fits. Here's what I gotta say. It doesn't come into play in the episode. It worked. It's a great aside. It's a great teaching moment between Geordi and Data, who are more like brothers.
They're more like friends.
Right. Yeah. They're friends. Right.
But yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I agree, because like it's weird that
you guys
like,
are insane.
No.
You guys are crazy. This because it's all about making that decision. Should I believe someone?
Yeah.
Or shouldn't
right.
I?
It serves,
I feel like that conversation kind of lets you. That conversation kind of says to the audience, like, that's you when you have to make those decisions. That's you at your like most instinctive and primitive self. Like,
you're
that's
right.
who you are.
You're right.
Because, like, all these things that you see every day and all the makeup or clothes or shampoo that you use, mm-hmm. like, to better your, like, to look better and to be this person that, like, is acceptable to mm-hmm. our society, like, when you have to make those decisions, that's who you are. That's you.
You're right.
And I thought that was a really neat, I don't know.
No,
I really
no.
enjoyed that conversation.
You make a good point. It serves a purpose in that it's saying, I don't know that it's saying to the audience, but it makes the audience question whether their gut reaction about the conclusion they're clearly jumping to, or that everybody I suspect when you watch the episode you're trying to guess because it's a mystery. Like, oh, is he a spy? Is he for real? The whole time you think it's a dilemma, and you don't really realize that it's a trilemma in the end, which, again, we'll get to. But, like, that's my new catchphrase. We'll get to that.
I was going to be trilemma.
It's a teaching moment between, you know, Geordi and Data about, you know, human intuition. That's the moment we're talking about when they're in engineering. it serves as like a footnote to a larger series long conversation between the two of them about learning to be human, where Picard kind of gives Data like the, not the broad strokes, but he gives like the huge looming questions, or the rhetorical, or the you know, the unanswerable, the sublimeness of being human.
Picard cuts to the he cuts the shit out right away.
Right,
he's like when and if you ever get to become more human, here are the questions you're still gonna have to fucking
exactly.
Face.
No, nobody knows. Hey, guess what? It's terrifying.
Right.
Well, jump into the nightmare. You know,
Geordi kind of does like the moment by moment, play by play. Like, well, this is kind of what you're experiencing right now, Data.
It's more idiosyncratic. It's more. It's definitely more. You know, like you said, like it's immediate, and though it does again. It matches the episode thematically. I think it's off the tone of the episode ever so slightly in a highly charged, you know, dramatic mystery. There's this silly moment where they're like, oh, you got to go with your gut. And I like this episode doesn't have a subplot. There's no B-line. There's mm-hmm. no filler. This episode's all killer, no filler.
All killer, no filler.
You have all killer, no filler. And the conversation isn't bad. It's good. Like, again, like the dialogue between them is great. And Dom, like, you know, you kind of shed some new light on it for me. I just, when I initially watched it, I just didn't think it fit into the episode.
Yeah, I think if you have a B story in this episode, I mean, and it's just the default, is that the B story will always be like Data kind of experiencing human beings.
Right.
Yeah. Like that, you could say that's the B or even D story of episodes, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like that was just to take a break from the action to like kind of say like this is what the crew is going through, you know? So I don't know. I like that scene.
No, you're right. You're right. And I don't want to say rarely do they do this, but maybe I should do this more often. I did get to look up some of the production notes about this episode. And, apparently this episode went through a million rewrites, and, it was originally like, the brainchild of, Ronald D. Moore. And then like, it went to like a committee and, he actually has some fairly funny and un-PC things to say about it, so I'll omit them from the podcast. But like, when they finally decided on how they wanted to do it, what story they wanted to tell, I wonder if this was something they had stowed away. I wonder if that was a conversation
something that survived.
That they were like, we want Geordi and Data to have this dialogue at some point. We just don't know when. And right. I wonder if that was a holdover from either an earlier write of the dream. And again,
it probably is.
I'll never fault a show for that. I'll never fault any media ever trying to be more than what the outcome is. Because we make content, you know, not just this podcast, but like we make shorts and films and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, you never end up with the project you imagine. Sometimes a lot of times it's vastly better because of all the people involved. You know, it's more than just your singular vision.
At the end of this podcast, the show is going to turn into comic book, man. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's just a dog barking for 90 minutes. Like that's like the podcast by the time we're done recording.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I take it back. This episode's a 10 out of 10. It's three chains on the chain. He's
convinced himself.
You got me, Dom. You got me. So let's – okay. So, you know, we talked about some of the overarching things. You know, Data giving the audience objective giving them an objective perspective. Like Picard says, you know, you need to make an objective record of this. So we have Picard setting Data up. Be like, you're here to learn about the human condition. Geordi says to Data, we got to go. There's somewhere between instinct – you know, somewhere between intuition and all your learned experience. And so, you know, Data is the living record of this episode. So guys, what happens in this episode? What are we talking about? What's this episode really about?
Love scanning for life forms. Life forms. You tiny little life forms. You precious little life forms. Where are you?
Okay, so this is one of the first episodes where they introduced the storyline of the Romulans, and this is something that Star Trek is like revolves around and never really delves into too much. Like, there's never a complete story of what happened with the Romulans. So, quickly, the Romulans and the Federation and human beings go to war in the past, which is our future. So, from 2156 to 2160, there's an interstellar war between humans and Romulans. It's fucking crazy. Billions of people die. It's insane. And then the Federation is formed. In that time, the Romulans consider it like a huge embarrassment, like a national tragedy that they lost this war against lowly human beings, you know, like these upstart like primates who kicked their ass, basically. So they go into exile, hiding, and no one hears from them for 150 years.
A butt century.
A butt century.
That's what they call it in space. You parsec and then a butt century. That's the ascending order, yeah.
So then they start showing up again and start fucking with the Federation, kind of prodding them. And the Romulans are a very paranoid and deceptive people. So how they go about starting wars, and they say in the episode, is they prefer to test their limits to see what they can get away with and to entice war. To sort of milk it, to make it happen around them, so they can sort of be like, "Well, it wasn't our fault," you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, like we didn't punch first,
right? Exactly. Yeah.
Why'd you walk into my fist?
Yeah. So, what's the thing that the Romulans? There's the Tomalak, is that his name?
Yeah, Tomalak. So we got James Sloyan at playing George C. Scott playing Admiral Aldor Jorak.
Yeah. So he shows up. And you know some bullshit's going on right away, because he's in a shuttle and he's getting shot at by his own people. And he gets on the Enterprise and he's like, "I have important information."
And everyone's like, "No one believes you, worm."
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, the second he shows up, I'm like, "Oh my god, General Patton's here." He sounds so much like George C. Scott. It's crazy.
So that's where the episode sort of leads off. Like, you know, some shit's going on, because Romulans don't just give themselves up to Federation.
So what we have here is what plays out in front of us is a Cold War defector allegory.
Right.
It's said in the episode about that confronting the Romulans is like a chess match. And that's exactly what you have here. You have people making moves, anticipating the next move, you know, deciding whether they should make a move or not. It's full of the possibility of spies and double agents. I mean, it's all wrapped up in one character, which is nice. It doesn't get too, far away from itself. But the writer Moore, who I mentioned earlier, Ronald D. Moore, he described the episode as the Cuban Missile Crisis at the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of this episode is to act would mean war, or to do nothing could mean absolute destruction, could mean annihilation.
Right.
Which is, again, do your history homework, find out what the Cuban Missile Crisis is. I don't have time to explain that to you, plebs. but we had a couple of commenters making mention of this. Carl Winslow Ate My Dog and DJB3 both mentioned how they loved the idea of this Cuban Missile Crisis allegory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. There's a base that is in territory that is disputed, that could mean the destruction of
the neutral zone is an agreed upon buffer, just like, you know,
international waters,
or World War II, when they were like, you know, we need a buffer zone to you know, Hitler said, we need breathing room, we need, you know, so they invented this line in the sand in space that's no one is allowed. The Romulans and the Federation are not allowed to go into. No one's allowed to go in there ever.
And so the idea is that
but that's where space keeps all the best stuff.
that's the thing. Well, I mean, we don't have to recount every moment of the episode, obviously, you know, or we would hope that you'd watched it, but what we have here is exactly it could be applied to any Cold War story, is that you have this thing that you both sides are not supposed to do, and one side either goats the other side into doing it, or
goats them into thinking they're doing it.
Or there's a thought about, it's like, are you doing that, are you not?
Right.
And the I guess we can kind of give a broad stroke about not the Cold War between us and the Soviet Union, between the United States and the Soviet Union, but a Cold War is a war without casualties, or a war without reported casualties.
Oh, yeah, a war...
Right. So while we have...
Unconventional.
Right, a lot of unconventional warfare. So while we have the Romulans who are posing they pose a potential threat to the Federation, we have this defector now show up who protests the idea that he's even a traitor, which is also a very interesting and tragic story for the character Jurok.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have him explaining, like, look, I don't want there to be a war. So to prevent war, you have to do something terrible. You have to do something that we agreed that nobody would do. You have to do something that could cause war.
Right, to prevent war.
War.
Which is the absurdity of the Cold War.
And it was time and time again, specifically the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's like, yeah, you can't fly spy planes here.
Right.
The place that we're fueling nuclear missiles to launch on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yep.
And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, but we have to fly the spy plane to tell you that we know you're doing it. And then if you do it, we're going to reply with missiles. And it's...
Right.
And, in this episode, it's very, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of gray area, a lot of neutral area in this episode. But like, when Tomalak shows up, Commander Tomalak is a great character, a reoccurring character on the series. When he shows up, we get the Romulans painted in a very negative light. And it's, their intentions here were not to spark a war, but were to instead gather information for what they know is a coming war for the, you know, they don't want to have a skirmish. What they want to do is make it so that they can have these gigantic strategic broad strokes. Oh, well,
true, but I mean, he fully insists on capturing the entire...
Right.
Well, that's the idea. During the Cold War, when Soviet pilots would defect to the United States, the Soviet Union would be like, we want the MiG back, the fighter plane back.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States is like, yeah, you'll get it back. And then they took apart the plane, put it back together, and then they'd give it back.
Yeah.
We're dancing around it, so I'm just going to like hit the nail on the head here. I cannot recommend enough one of my absolute favorite movies of all time, a phenomenal Cold War thriller, The Hunt for Red October. Please,
yeah,
it's required watching for anybody who likes thrillers, who's a Cold War junkie, like I know Josh and I are. You know, based on the book written by the guy. What's his name?
Rainbow Six.
Rainbow Sixman. It's written by him. And,
Tommy Clancy.
Yeah, Tom Clancy. And it's a Jack Ryan novel. It's a standalone novel. The novel's good. I prefer the movie. There it is. Fight me. Come at me, bro.
I like when Picard, when they're like, okay, we got to go in the neutral zone. He's like, all right, let's do this. And then he turns to Worf and he's like, call up the Klingons. Rolling deep.
There's a moment very similar to that in The Hunt for Red October, which, that movie and this episode sort of were being released concurrently, and I don't think there's a chicken egg situation here. I just think it's sort of everybody was dipping their pen in the same well, writing these sort of stories because it was very relatable. Again, it's allegorical. It's like you can just, you know, you can invent a story based around the same idea because it was right in front of us. It was a sword of Damocles dangling over two superpowers for 40 years,
yeah,
you know, and Tomalak pulls a reverse Hunt for October at the end. He wants to capture the Enterprise to find out all its secrets, where in Red October we have a captain defecting with a super weapon, saying, look, this is what's going to cause war. Take it. Get rid of it. And that's what you have with Jurok defecting. As he says, this outpost, we're developing weapons. It's a staging point. There are all these ships there. But it turns out there's a major twist in this episode. Dom, why don't you lay it on him? What happens?
They show up and, oh my God, there's nothing. Yep. This guy must have been lying. What a sack of dirt. And then the guy shows up, the main guy.
Yeah, Tomalak. Tomalak.
Tomalak shows up and he goes, oh, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Yep. It's like when you get set up, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but like somebody talks to you as they've led you into this like stupid trap. And he's just like, oh, oh, you mean, it's like, well, we detected something. And he goes, oh, you mean our satellite? Yes, we are surveying.
Archaeology.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, isn't that
like,
weird?
God damn it! They got me!
They got me! You sons of bitches! Dude, it's such a
brilliant
twist.
Dude, I'm always led into war.
Always going to war with my friends.
Oh, God damn it.
Jurok's pontifications about the Klingons being the war-hungry and indomitable, and having an indomitable spirit, like theirs, being what would be the impetus for everybody getting killed. Like when Jurok's in the sick bay, and he's like, oh, I like Worf. Right. He's like, but it's that Klingon mentality that's going to get everybody killed if we all adopt that. But what's so interesting is that saves the Enterprise in the end, because, you know, Picard on the sly, because he's a dude invented the Picard maneuver. He's a strategic mastermind, you know, and also he's thinking of what's best for his soldiers, what's best for his troops, the Henry V thing. Right. He contacts the Klingons and he actually taps into their unquenchable thirst for battle, the same thing that Jurok said would lead to their demise. And he gets them to come to the Enterprise's aid. He gets the Klingons to come to the Enterprise's aid, because if there's anybody who hates the Romulans, it's the Klingons. And this is a little in show, and it's kind of fun. It's extra Savoy Fair if you're watching, or if you really delve into the lore. You're like, oh shit, the Klingons show up, because the Klingons.
Dude, when those ships uncloak, you're like, oh fuck, I forgot about that.
I forgot
it's
about
so them. Good.
Yeah, dude, yeah. It's great. You know, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong. The Klingons aren't. The Romulans are very technologically superior and have their birds of prey. Their ships are real threats.
I was going to say, at this point in like Federation history, like the reason that they want the Enterprise is because the Enterprise is the top of the line. It's
right.
The Federation is like starting to create galaxy class starships.
It's
that
the
are
Krabby Patty.
They're fucking
dude,
top of the line cute face.
You gotta capture that
Krabby
Patty, otherwise you're never gonna have a successful undersea restaurant chain.
Yeah.
It's the Krabby Patty. Somebody give me some fan art of that.
And the Romulans are plankton.
Yeah. Yep. So when the Klingons show up in force, like, you know, the Klingons, they go around picking fights, but, like, you know, they lose their Romulans.
Well, the Klingons are on their best behavior in the early episodes of TNG. Like,
they're coming off of a treaty with the Federation.
They're very sort of calm.
Yep.
And all that shit goes away eventually. Like, they're
which is great. There's a very Sun Tzu element to this, a very Art of War. It's sometimes the only ally, you know, or rather, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend,
right,
sort of thing. And, you know, the only ally that they could find against such a deceptive adversary as the Romulans, the Federation or the Enterprise in this case, would be to maybe extend an olive branch to somebody else might not be on the best of terms with.
The Klingons are manageable. Like, you can deal, like, the Federation knows how to deal with the Klingons. Mm-hmm. The Klingons are a little moody and they get a little upset,
right,
but the Romulans are poison. They're extremely dangerous. Like a Romulan being in the Federation, in defecting is a big fucking deal.
And it's a huge blemish for them.
Yeah.
And it's unthinkable. And what you have is you have it being unthinkable for a Federation ship.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reference to Colonel Custard and everything earlier in the episode at one point and all. And that's kind of interesting. But there are other allusions in this episode that I think are really interesting around what the Romulans might be based on. The idea of, like, the conclusion is really reminiscent of the Roman conspirators who would attempt to assassinate the emperor at any given time during the Roman Empire. They were given the option of suicide to help, you know, preserve their family honor.
Right, honor.
And you see this early on in the episode when Jurok takes out the, you know, cyanide capsule or whatever the fuck it is, and he takes out the Necco wafer.
The only thing more poisonous than actual poison is a Necco wafer.
Dude, he pulls up that Necco wafer, and then he's like, he tells the story about his daughter, and then Data shows him the holodeck and everything, and you have this sentimentality around it. And so why do I say, oh, it's an allusion to that? Because the Romulans are named for Romulus and Remus, who were the mythological founders of Rome.
Right.
So you have this indomitable, you know, empire. They're called an empire, too, the Romulan Empire.
The Romulan Star Empire.
Yeah, and that they can't even they can't have any of these blemishes. They can't lose a battle. You know, they're all kinds of sneaky goddamn Italians. you know, but I don't know, man. I think there's a lot that's going on within the lore of the series if you want to read into it. But as a superficial thriller, I think that a lot of people can sort of like get into it. I know it's Taunt, Dom. It's a great pick, man. It's a real cool thing. When the Klingons show up, man, you're like, oh shit, look at Picard using his pull, man. He's like,
oh, you want it? Oh, you got a knife, homie? Me too.
Yeah. Dude, you're like,
he's like, you want a knife? We can knife.
We can knife fight.
And he's like, you will die. He's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. and then Romulans are like, damn, he's for serious.
He's for real, yo. Yeah. Dude, he's like, you want to dance? And Josh, am I correct in thinking at this part in the series, Worf's father is still on the council?
No, Worf's father died at Kittimer.
That's right, Kittimer. I'm sorry.
Which is the Romulan.
Right.
Kind of sabotaged and massacred the Klingons. So yeah. It's pretty good that the Klingons didn't just show up and start shooting the fuck out of them. I mean,
so Worf, who has some pull in the Klingon community and is this – in the Klingon community, everybody is, I'm the son of my father, you know, that sort of thing, like their whole family tie.
They're the dwarves. They are.
We'll definitely get into some Klingon mythology at some point with this show and everything. But, you know, it's brilliant the way they set up everything echoing in this episode. The Henry V, the conversation with Data and Picard later. Jarok saying about the Klingons, you know, being the warbirds that they are, and then Warhawks, excuse me, they are, and then the warbirds show up later. Yeah. You know, it's really clever. It's you know, the pendulum gets to swing like both ways. And also, real quick, just an aside, James Sloan, the guy who plays Jarok in this episode, also plays a Klingon in an episode later in the series. It's in the 7th season, and it's an episode with Worf's son. Spoilers. And I can't remember the name of the episode, but this guy's – the guy who plays Jarok. He's a TNG regular – or rather, a Star Trek regular.
They recycled a lot of actors. They did. They liked a certain actor.
They were like,
James Cromwell is in Star Trek 100 times.
Yep. Yeah, dude. A lot of these character actors too, guest stars. So we have – this guy plays two characters in TNG, a character in DS9, and also in Voyager.
Yeah, which he's also in Babylon 5. Somebody made a comment about that.
He's also in a great episode of The X-Files. He's in a Ronald, I believe, is the name of the episode of The X-Files that he's in.
Alaricus.
Old Ronald! And in that episode of The X-Files, he's like full-blown George C. Scott. You're just watching, you're like, oh, rest in peace.
Rip.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Speaking of the guest stars.
Good.
Eon Soldier 92 says, "Well, they did it. It made me feel bad for a rock."
That's some racist ass shit right there,
dude. What are you saying about my Italian people? What are you saying about
spaces, man?
Spaces.
But they really do make you feel bad for this guy by showing you how much he sacrificed. Like throughout the episode, like he's telling Data, like, this is what I'm giving up everything. And then they go to Romula on the holodeck, and it's awesome.
And
like it's so cool looking.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have to go.
He's like, I don't live here anymore.
This is not my life anymore. Right. I will never see this again.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's go on.
I'm sorry.
You go.
they have to make him that way because what he's doing is he's not. You know, a traitor to his people. Like, yes, he is in the Romulan point of view, but he's a hero for all time for everybody because he's
just like the Cold War.
Right, he's stripping himself of his nationalism. He's like,
and how about
right? Just like the Defectors in the Cold War and all those spies who will die, who will never know what they sacrificed to prevent all of us from dying.
Yep.
And how about when they end communication with the Romulans and they go away and it's just him and he's standing there on the bridge and he's like, it was all for nothing.
Yep.
Oh, the way they set this character up, the way this character is written to be so hard-boiled, to be like so rigid, like, oh, I know a couple cyberneticists who would like to get their hands on you, and Data's like, I would think I wouldn't like that. And he's like, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then
he curses at Worf twice.
Yeah. Twice.
And he's like, Picard's like, yo, man, stop cursing at my home.
Yeah, dude, Riker steps up and he's like, hey, I know curse words too. So, like, dude, it's, and then like you get that interrogation scene, you get that rough, gruff exterior. And of course, to really get the pathos going, you know, you set up his family and everything. And then like you crack that egg open and it's just gooey on the inside. He's all soft and
he's a person.
Sad. And he eats that Necco wafer, and that's fucking it, man.
It's just the Necco wafer.
Just
man.
Like in real life.
He didn't ask for this.
Yeah. He's like, I wanted chocolate on Halloween. What am I getting? Condensed
chalk.
Powdered. Chalk.
Why am I getting
chalk
yellow chalk for Halloween?
Dude, they're coasters. They're little coasters. What is this? Dude, Necco wafers? Is that like a Pennsylvania joke? Are we making too much of
I don't
a
know. No,
that's
a peanut chews are a Pennsylvania thing. I don't know if Necco wafers are.
Sky bars.
Yeah, sky bar.
But how about when they have that, they find him.
Oh.
He's taken the super death pill.
So he's dead forever.
So he's super dead forever.
Yeah.
And they have the letter to his daughter.
Yeah. Oh.
And Data goes, he must have written this knowing that
we couldn't.
It would, yeah. His daughter would never read it.
Yep.
And then Picard says something to the effect of like, "Well, it's a symbol of his hope for
exactly
all life. You know,
maybe and one day we'll be able to exchange dialogue." And that's like, that's how fucked up like the Romulan Federation shit is. Like they can't even talk to each other. Like
no,
they don't do anything with each other.
But although everything was in vain,
right.
Like I feel like that letter is so important. It's a symbol of his intentions.
Exactly.
Because he wants
and his
everything.
Hope, and his hope for
right. Mm-hmm. It's what we all want, and it's just like, you know. It brought a tear to my eye, guys.
It pulled the strings a lot, man. Closing thoughts. Go ahead. No, you go.
I was going to say, I don't want to get too far ahead, but like for me, this episode is very, like you said, lore based, and I fucking love that shit.
I was about
I
to say the
that
same
shit
thing.
Up.
Dude, you're saying exactly what I was about to say. Go ahead.
And later on, there's an episode, I don't know what it's called, where there's a half human, half Vulcan crew member on the Enterprise.
Oh.
And they find out that he is actually half Romulan. And it's full-blown witch hunt time.
That episode is the McCarthy trial episode.
Yeah.
And what's so funny is he's not even – that episode has a great red herring in it. And I would love to talk about that episode even if we don't ever watch it.
Yeah.
Because they set – it's a great example of how this show does so much with 40 minutes. It's a great example of how excellent and dense the writing can be, because it's set up as being like, oh, the whole episode is we're going after guy X, and then suddenly it just takes a left turn in the middle of the episode, and it's like, nope, it's actually about guy Y now because of these revelations, because of this new thing. And if you're not watching, like you said, if you're not watching like the whole show, it might be like, that kind of episode's kind of a throwaway. What was I really watching? What's the point here? And the point is this deep-seated hatred that the show is trying to portray as being so irrational, so so primitive, so right. Like we have to evolve out of it, that we have to become better than witch hunts, than spacism,
right.
You know, like we have to get ahead of it all, man.
Don't be great. Money man.
Don't be money man.
Don't be money
man. I have to check on my accounts.
Puts his monocle up and he's like, sir, this is 2450. There's 2470. There's no monocles anymore.
There are no monocles. Take those off.
So, no one has bad eyes. Right,
we just give you new ones.
Like right, Jordy. Let me throw this out to everybody, all of our listeners. I would highly encourage you guys to watch an episode that actually comes three episodes before this one. Whoops, we probably should have said that a week ago. That's my fault. I'm in charge of these things, and I should just be like, hey, we're going to talk about this episode. Maybe watch this episode as a lead-in. Season 3, Episode 7, The Enemy. Some of the sentiments and themes surrounding the Romulans and Federation encounters are explored in this episode. It's another good episode It's a good episode to introduce Tomalak. Not that this episode didn't introduce him well, because both are sort of like, oh, here's Commander Tomalak. But he's a minor character in both episodes, but we see him more as the series goes on. He's a reoccurring character, and he kind of becomes a spearhead for the Romulans, and also for the Tomalak sort of becomes a sort of this litmus test for Romulan and Federation, like – you know, sort of like where they stand with one another at, right. At the, you know, as time moves on in the episode, as the years tick off in the Star Trek world, you know, mm-hmm. not just through the seasons and everything. And it's kind of an interesting reoccurring character. And, like, you know, like I said, he's first introduced in an episode a couple before this, but you sort of get the same thing with him. They set him up as, again, they're reintroducing the Romulans, and they're introducing this character as being like, hey, this is going to be a guy that we're going to go to. This is the Romulan speaker piece. Right. I'm talking about this way too much. I'm sorry.
No. It's good because, yeah, he represents everything pretty negative about the Romulan Empire, like, mm-hmm. and there's not too much that's good about the Romulan Empire.
He's them at their worst. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And he talks about, especially in this episode, he talks about how he's going to display the Enterprise, its hollowed ship, yeah. as a symbol of like everything that is wrong with humans.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So.
And we've talked about, like, echoing in this episode, and we've talked about, like, the pendulum swinging, too. The later episodes that Tomalak shows up in, it's interesting to see how the, again, how the sentiments of each, you know, faction mm-hmm. Changed towards each other through these encounters, through the time, what they learn from each other each time.
One thing that Star Trek does mm-hmm. tremendously well, and I would recommend at some point we watch Enterprise, because Enterprise starts to set this whole thing in motion.
And we're watching everything, Josh. We're watching it all.
One thing that show mm-hmm. does well as this show, is the idea that it starts with you. It's, if you want, like, things to change, and if you want to act a certain way toward people, no government is going to do it for you. No military is going to do it for you. Like, it's just you and the other guy. Like, and that's one of my favorite things about Star Trek, is things start to change only when people start to change.
Absolutely.
Yep. Man.
I just want to know why all the bad guys in Star Trek kind of look like my little brother.
Danny?
I would say Worf, Quark especially.
Quark? Danny looks like Quark?
Is this the trash Danny podcast?
Yeah. Jesus.
Danny kind of looks like Quark, man.
I want to know why Danny looks like a space butt.
Dude, he's got those ears. You can't say that. But
even the Romulans kind of look like Danny.
Fuck you, Danny.
Dude, Danny Moschitti. Oh, man. Danny Moschitti. Dude, we had a couple great comments from our listeners on the subreddit. You know, we're getting some heady territory, so let's bring it back to the fun. Mm-hmm. So, Coffee Spots and Esteban 39 were and actually Nick Rude and a couple other people were talking about the badassery in this episode. Yeah. Coffee Spots goes, Picard is badass for pulling the or talks about Picard being so badass for bringing the Klingons into the fray, and then Esteban 39 says, quote, Tomalak is badass and Picard is an even bigger badass.
Dude, Picard is a huge badass in this episode, but he is so much more of a badass later on. Like, Picard is fucking amazing. Yeah. I would fuck him.
You think you saw Picard's big swinging dick?
Yeah.
Dude, hey, Dom, I thought about that.
You saw big swinging tip.
Okay? It's just tip. Dude, I thought about that. Watch this episode. I was like, this episode is the swinging dick episode. Even Troy has a swinging dick, you know?
When everyone does.
When she's, like, interrogating him. I mean, you know, you get Riker, who's great. That'll bring us to Nick Rude's comment in a second here. But, like, there's even a moment when Jurak's like, do you have children, to Picard? And he, like, gives him this eye roll, and he's like, no, and he's so upset about it.
I don't like children.
He's like, why would you even bring that up? Of course,
get off my nuts
stupid.
About having children. I have Dude, data.
Didn't you watch the first episode where I talked to Riker?
Dude, it comes up so often, and like the deeper the character becomes, the more we explore him, the more that again, just the bad attitude that comes out of him is because we know where Card's GUI center is, you know, where he thinks he's failed as a human, where he's lacking as a captain. We know what his weaknesses are, and so when he puffs
chocolate.
Up and he, yeah, dude, who wouldn't have a weakness for chocolate? When he puffs up and he's like, "Give me that Cadbury cream egg," you're like, "Holy fucking shit, dude! This guy's going crazy." Yeah.
He's gonna pull the Picard maneuver where he sucks out all the cream first.
That's what the Picard maneuver is.
He sucks the cream out, and then he wraps it back up and puts it back in your Easter basket.
Yeah.
It's like Picard removal. card remover.
He sucks it out. Like a fucking vampire. He's like wrapping it up.
He called Picard it the Picard maneuver. Remover, and somebody's like, the Picard maneuver? He's like, yes.
Yes,
that's, yes, what, that's what I said.
Yes,
what I
that said. Sounds more captain-y.
I really want to get to Nick Root's comment, though. He said, compared to some other themes that we've explored in the show, up to where he's at, like watching, such as Data's trial and its juxtaposition with slavery, the IRA terrorism exploration episode, and just episodes of Riker's badassery, this episode seems somewhat plain. And I'm not going to say you're wrong, Nick Rude, but get the fuck off of the show right now. No, you know, it's funny.
Sometimes,
after watching
sometimes
this episode,
you got to have a long fight. Yeah. A long fight of just dissing. People, dudes are just dissing on each other.
Yo mama jokes all day.
Eventually, someone throws a punch.
Yep.
This is a diss episode.
Yes. Yep.
It's funny because Dom and I talked about The Measure of a Man, that episode where Data's on trial for being a human or not. And,
I would love to do that one.
We're going to do – we got to do that. We got to do the Yar. We're going to do the Yar arc, and that'll be in our Yar arc. Absolutely. Our Lieutenant Yar arc. But like, there are definitely episodes that maybe seem more – pertinent to conversations that we're having today. And I think we talked about this before with other episodes of other shows, maybe even Star Trek, but this is an objective record of history. This is a way for us to look at what the Cold War was like in 40 minutes, to look at the Cuban Missile Crisis through space and to get a little, you know, idea of the way we act and react to things through data.
Well,
I
mean, this episode kind of comes up at a pretty interesting time, and not to date this episode too much, but what's happening in Russia and how America is trying to respond.
Holy
and
shit.
How Europe is trying to respond. Europe doesn't want to respond too much.
Hey guys, remember 20 years ago when this was
over?
Yeah, remember 20 years ago when this was all happening when we were kids? I do. That's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of happening again.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but it's interesting.
Yeah. There are Josh, I think you wanted to talk about that a little bit, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I mean it's just now we're seeing like history repeat itself, unfortunately, again here. And Star Trek deals with that a lot. I mean, that's what Star Trek is. Like, humans go into space and they find themselves literally in space. They find what it is to be content with your own existence, basically, and they become enlightened. But even so, they still run into the same shit over and over again that plagued humanity. Now it's plaguing humanity and 150 other worlds that belong to the Federation, you know?
And it's on the outside. It's extroverted now,
right,
you know?
It's like, just flipped,
And we even run into some episodes where we see that we maybe haven't come as far as we'd like to think we have. And not to belabor the point, but Nick Root's comment, not that he didn't like the episode. This episode is a character profile and insight into the universe that this show is written within, no pun intended, you know, in the fiction that the show is written within. And there are other episodes that are maybe a little bit more not just accessible, but maybe more applicable, you know, for people. They could be like, hey, in this episode of Star Trek, we see people talking about the nature of consciousness, and you don't have to know who the Romulans or the Klingons are to talk about that. And I would agree. I would absolutely agree to that. I would just say that, you know, if you're willing to sort of like get invested a little bit, you know, put on your Trekkie uniform a little bit.
Man.
You guys want to do that? You want to have some Romulan ale? Yo, how about that call to Romulan ale? Oh, the Romulan
ale
is illegal. The Romulan is
illegal.
The Romulan ale is super illegal.
Romulan ale, the Cuban cigars of Star Trek.
There it is. And it's the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yep.
Holy shit, we did it. That's it. Episode over, guys. Thank you.
Episode
good night. I'm leaving. I'll see you guys later.
All right, guys, you know what time it is. It's DJ Dom in the morning with syndicated
DJ Dom. Klaxon all day.
Two chicks at one time, man. There's that sample.
Yeah, there's
that sample from Office Space.
Samples from that movie. Oh, like, Snoochie Boochies, just like all the dumbest samples.
Snoochie Boochies.
I wonder if kids today grow up listening to that like we had to.
Nobody listens to anything like that.
Yes.
They better.
But yes, it's time for Syndicated, ladies and gentlemen. Do you guys have one? I have one in mind. If you don't have
go,
one.
You go.
All right, we're going to have to do this as a group, guys.
Okay,
let's do this. Let's all put it in the pot. Put it in the pot. It's a stew.
We're going my episode of this episode.
Go ahead.
It's a two-parter.
Love two-parters.
We just watched part one.
I love part one.
Part two opens up. That wasn't a suicide pill. This motherfucking Romulan just hulked out, and he is buff.
He went into a sleep to get ripped.
And he goes, and he's like, I am now at the Federation's bidding. And like, and Picard doesn't know what to do. He's like, what are we just going to shoot this muscly Romulan at the other Romulans? We can't do that.
Yeah.
So like the whole episode, he's working out in the space gym. And they're trying to figure out what to do with this buff Romulan that took this steroid pill. And what happens, Josh?
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, they can't just throw him at the Romulans because that would be an open act of war, and that would be worse than like shooting a photon torpedo at them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they have to put him in the space weightlifting competition, which all races and species enter.
Mr. Universe?
Yeah, Mr. Universe. It's like the Space Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And the Romulans are fucking pissed because, like, here's a Romulan wearing the Federation flag like fucking James Brown.
Shit, it's like when a Soviet hockey player would defect to the United States and play in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, except better.
Except this guy's hot.
And he's buff as shit.
Dude, he's got that nice tan. He's got that Romulan yellow face tan.
That jaundicey look to him.
Yep.
That green ass skin.
But he still has his shoulders, his shoulder pads.
Dude, those aren't shoulder pads. He's just he does a lot of lat pull downs. He does super pullovers, deadlifts, and lat pull downs.
Romulan physiology is akin to a blouse from 1987.
And so he wins Mr. Universe.
He wins,
and he's holding a statue with a buff man on it, and he
of
goes,
himself
thank you.
That they made
of himself, and he goes, "Thank you, Picard. Thank you for letting me realize my true purpose in this world."
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Muscle Planet now and just work out for the rest of my life.
It's like heaven.
Dude, and the trophy that they chiseled as the competition's going, and they were like oh, this is the guy. Josh, what's the name of the fuel that they use in Star?
Dilithium.
It's chiseled out of dilithium. He's like, I'm going to go to Muscle Planet. And he just
the most
busts
radioactive.
Yeah, dude. He busts down to engineering, and you know that you know, the blast doors closing that, like, Geordi, like,
rolls. Yeah, that he always tries to get away from.
He one-hands it, wham, back up, like a garage door, rips open the warp core, and just shoves that buff-ass statue of him up.
And next thing you know, warp infinity.
Dude, you got it! You got it! Warp infinity! They're on Muscle Planet, and here's where the episode takes a turn for the sensitive, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wesley was there at the muscle lifting competition, and he goes up to Jurak, and he's like, Jurak, you got another one of those Necco wafers on you? And the whole thing is a PSA for doing steroids.
Oh my
God. And Jurak's like, what hath I wrought upon this young man? And and they have a sing-along at the end with Robert Evans and Heather Locklear.
And holy
shit.
About not doing
after
drugs.
After the sing-along, they go to his room. And they're like, I remember when there was a buff man in here. And they find an 8x10 autographed photo of himself addressed to his daughter.
Oh, there it is, dude.
His hope. It's his hope that one day his daughter will appreciate his muscles.
I got for a character for a second. They walk into his room like, I remember when a buff man was here.
That's the dialogue. That's Data. He's analyzing.
Holy shit.
He's analyzing, dude. Data comes in. Dude, it's so good. Oh my god. And at the end it's like in memory of Amalak Jurak. He was really buff.
His muscles exploded.
Husband, father, real buff.
The Jurak Buffatorium Memorial Crew Chambers.
For drug abusers.
For drug abusers. Dude, and that's where, they take over, like, a whole entire, like, holodeck. And, like, you know, just as, like, a living memoriam to him, you know? Mm-hmm. And, what's his name? Barclay, right?
Lieutenant Barclay, yeah.
Yeah, Barclay. Barclay goes in there, and he's, like, he wants to have his fantasy about Troy and Crusher. And he walks in there, and it's just a bunch of buff dudes just all lifting weights. And then the episode takes a real interesting turn. That's an episode for another episode of Syndicated. So that's a story for another episode of our show.
That's a tale for another time.
Oh, what are all these handsome, greasy, sweaty men doing in here?
Better get Wesley in here so he can study.
Yo, man, if you guys haven't run into it yet, let me tell you about Wesley and all the pedophiles he meets on this show. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's always like, what a sweet young boy.
Yeah,
they're always, like,
him.
Stroking his hair. Just call me the Traveler.
The Traveler.
He's got those three really meaty fingers, and I'm like,
ew.
Oh, man. All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to watch three things for the next 2 weeks.
More homework. God damn it.
God damn it, teacher.
Everybody's getting D's.
There was a buff man in here.
Unless the shows are 500 chains off the chain. All right. Here's what we're going to ask you guys to do. For the week of the 13th? No, I'm going to say that we're going to use the day that the episodes are going to go up. 2 weeks from now, April 15th. And April 18th, we're going to have two episodes of Syndication Station for you. We're going to try and get up two episodes, same week, two episodes of the same show. We like doing this show so much, and we like you guys talking to us so much about the things we love. We want to bring you more of it. So what we're going to do is two episodes of The X-Files, one on the 15th, one on the 18th, Creature double feature, first season, episode... You'd think I'd be more prepared. 12 and episode 19, Beyond the Sea and Darkness Falls, respectively. These are not main myth arc episodes. They're just two really creepy campfire stories.
And this is of the X-Files, correct?
Of the X-Files. X-Files season 1, episode 12, episode 19, Beyond the Sea, Darkness Falls, again. We're going to do some non-alien X-Files episodes. I would highly recommend that everybody check out all of season 1. There's two great episodes about the same character named Toombs. There's the episodes with Deep Throat, another episode with, called EBE, where he's involved there, and another one called Fallen Angel about alien abduction, where a great character is introduced that we'll probably maybe explore later down the line, where he shows up seasons later. But what we want you guys to do, again, the 15th, Beyond the Sea, the 18th, Darkness Falls. So that's your long-term homework assignment. That's your project to do at the end of the semester. Before midterms. Dom, why don't you tell everybody what we're doing for next week?
I hope y'all are in a spooky mood.
Oh God. Shit, more spook?
Because this week, we just got one episode. Next week, we got two spooky episodes.
Oh, no!
So this week... I've been raving about it to everybody because I have been powering through the series. But we are going to watch Night Gallery, and we're going to watch Season 1, Episode 5. It's titled Pamela's Voice, Lone Survivor, and The Doll. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to check that out. You can watch it on Hulu for free. You don't need a subscription. And if you are out of the U.S., I believe there is a site to work around to get to watch U.S. streaming stuff.
Yeah.
I have to do the research, or I think if you just Google it, you'll find it. But
maybe
if you're out of the country, you can definitely
watch
it. But check it out. It's on Hulu, Season 1, Episode 5.
Maybe if somebody can figure out how to do that for our foreign listeners or foreign participants and put that on
Reddit.
I should say, Yeah, put it on Reddit. I should say international instead of foreign. You goddamn foreigners, get off my podcast.
Well, Red Xena usually puts in the discussion episode, like the discussion thread. He usually has like one or two links to where you can watch the
episode. Where you can watch the episode, which is great.
So if anyone has that information, just post it in there so everyone can watch.
Absolutely fantastic. Dom, when are we watching Night Gallery 4? Our episode going up on the 11th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And the X-Files, those episodes are going up on the 15th and the 18th. So three things to watch, 2 weeks to watch them. Let's talk about it. Hope everybody enjoys the direction the show's taken. It's getting crazy!
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon we're going to be watching 10 episodes of the show for every day of the week, just like we do in our real lives.
Yeah.
But hey, if you like this show, if you want more of it,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and leave an iTunes review.
Please do. Tell us what you think.
And rate us on iTunes. Leave a review if you have some time. But it's really helping out. We're getting a lot of new listeners, and it seems like everyone's having a lot of fun. There's some great discussion, so we're glad that you guys are experiencing new shows. We're experiencing new episodes, and we're all having a great time. I don't know. I really love this show.
I love it. I love getting to have these conversations with everybody. Listen, tell your friends, your family, make your parents listen to it. Make your cat subscribe to us wherever you do that. I don't know how the internet works or cats.
That's how it works.
That's how you do it. We want to do this show all the time for you guys. So like I said, we're going to try and do two episodes in 2 weeks from now. See how that goes. See if we can't get that recorded for you. And maybe we'll put the episodes up on the YouTube. Maybe you could like it there. I don't know what else to say. We really got to work on these outros a little bit more, guys.
Until next week.
Guys, Netflix, Hulu Plus. Again, make sure you check out the networks of that these shows aired on. A lot of them have these shows listed for free. I know you can watch TNG on the CBS website, Twilight Zone as well. You have to sit through some commercials, but you don't if you guys don't have a paid service where you can watch stuff like Amazon Prime or whatever, it's a nice alternative to having to torrent things or to like having to go to like shady streaming sites that are, you know, probably loaded with viruses and whatnot. But share the information with each other. You know, let's cultivate a community of watching. I want this to be our couch potato Friday night thing to do. Everybody sits down and listens to us talk about buff Romulan dudes. So
on that note, have a buff weekend.
I remember when there was a buff dude in here.
Oh my god.
Right. Dude, it's see you, everybody.
Guys, bye. Thanks again so much. We'll see you next episode. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.